Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Building with Purpose Conference. Today, I am joined by Dr. Juanita Webb. I actually met her several months ago at a networking event. We were both part of the same podcast last year, and we got invited to an event. So she's somebody I met, I've trusted. We're actually working on a few things together, so I'm really excited to have her on. But for those of you that are watching, let me just give her a quick introduction. So Dr. Webb is a senior professional in human resources with the corresponding California certification. That's where she is based. She's a California licensed private investigator, does harassment and discrimination investigation, classification reviews, opinion surveys, audits, consultations. She does it all in HR in Bakersfield and beyond. She's an adjunct professor. She's a member of the Society for Human Resource Management, and the list goes on. But welcome, Dr. Webb, to the Building with Purpose online conference. I'm so thrilled to have you today.
Well, thank you, Justin. I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to our sharing our opportunities and talking a little bit more about this, but also seeing where this might take us as far as the work that we're doing together, and then even beyond that. So I'm excited about participating.
Excellent. Great. So I read your bio, but for people that don't know quickly off the top of their head what human resources is and, you know, what it is that you do, why don't you give us a bit of that background, how long you've been in HR and what that looks like for you on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. Well, as a gentleman, you normally wouldn't ask about, you know, a woman's age. So if I told you how long I'd been in HR, that would give away a lot. So
okay. Fair enough.
So I'm not going to tell you exactly how long, but let's put it this way. When I started in HR, it was called personnel.
Okay.
Personnel department. So that's how long it's been since I've been in HR. But there's been a lot of transitions over that. Basically, HR is all of the people side of the business. Anything relates to the employees, to training, to development, to hiring, firing, issues with employees, performance management, all of those things kind of come under that umbrella of human resources as it's referred to now as compared to personnel when I first started.
So I think, like, if you ask the casual person what HR is known for, they would probably use that phrase hiring and firing.
Yep.
But it's clearly so much more than that. And particularly right now with this pandemic and the social distancing and the things that are going on, what are you seeing happen? Like, what's the need for HR with what's happening in our world right now?
Well, HR has taken on a whole new composite with safety in this time. Typically, safety is under the HR umbrella. In some organizations, it's, you know, two different departments. But because of all of this, HR has come to the forefront of having to really ensure that one of the mandates for employees, you know, employers are required to provide a safe and healthy workplace for their employees, has come to the forefront, obviously, during all of this corona pandemic. So employers have really had to step it up. That means HR has been on the forefront of that. How do we help the employees? How do we help them continue working? How do we help them work from home? What does that mean? What does that look like for the organization? The other side of the responsibilities for HR is to balance the assistance that they give to employees with protecting the needs of the organization. So from both sides, HR is kind of on the front lines of both sides, protecting the organization and assisting the employees.
Yeah. That has to be a fine line to walk, right? Between wanting to take care of the employees, but also look after the business. What are some of those common issues that you're seeing emerge from either side that you're just, it's a repeating theme that's emerging?
Well, mostly, obviously, for employers, it's the financial economic aspects of it. You know, how can we keep our business running? What are the options available to us under the CARES Act or the, you know, payroll protection loans, all of those kinds of things that the government has been doing? What services can we offer our employees? You know, what's available to them out there in this kind of situation. So from the employer side, it's really been educating them about what's available to them. Mm-hmm. So they can then educate their employees, make sure their employees are well taken care of. That's one of the greatest things I've seen out of this pandemic has been the care and concern that the employers are demonstrating toward their employees. That is really encouraging. You know, so many times the employees feel like I'm just a number here. But I've seen employers really stepping up to take care of their employees, and that's been really encouraging and exciting. So the employee side, they're just concerned, obviously, for their own safety, their own health. You know, do I come into work? What do I do as far as social distancing? Is my company going to provide, you know, the face masks and those kinds of questions? So there's been a lot of those issues that we've had to address for the employee side so that they're comfortable if they are in an essential business having to come into work and still perform.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of my work deals with small business. The entrepreneur who has built up, they've got 2, 3, 4, 5 employees. And in my talks with them, and this goes even back to like pre-stimulus package, when news of this was starting to break and social distancing was just starting to become a thing, which was like 5 or 6 weeks ago, like it's crazy to think how long this has gone on. But what I did, so I live in Tehachapi and actually just spent time walking around the downtown section when all of the businesses were still open and just like doing some casual polling. Hey, we're starting to hear some of these things merge. What's your stance? And the number one, or I'll share the two most common responses, and I'd love to hear your input. But one of them was, I have employees and I haven't had to let them go yet, but I'm really afraid I'm going to have to, right? And multiple people with tears in their eyes were just like, I love these people and I'm so afraid of what's going to happen to them. Yeah. And the second is, especially in a town like ours, people were saying, look, I've got another source of income. Maybe my spouse works, or this is just a part-time thing for me. I haven't built it into that full-time thing. So I'll be okay. But my fear is all of those businesses that won't be okay. Now, certainly the stimulus packages helped alleviate some of that, but some of it may be too late and it may not be enough. So what are steps that both employers and employees can take to ensure their safety during this time?
Well, from a physical standpoint, obviously their safety is most important to, you know, ensure they are doing the social distancing, adhering as much to that as they possibly can, just to protect themselves personally and to not carry it to someone else. So to do whatever they can from that perspective. As far as the employer protecting themselves, make sure employees communicate with your employees. Even if you've already had to furlough them, you know, cut their hours, or you've maybe even had to lay some of them off at this point because you don't have enough hours, stay in communication with them. Keep them informed about what services are available to them. Unemployment is available to them. If they've had to be out because they're caring for a family member under this situation, paid family leave or family temporary disability insurance is available through the state. If they themselves have contracted it or if they've gotten sick because of this, then they're eligible for state disability insurance. So there's lots of benefits that are available to the employees that can be used to help them. Many times the smaller employers don't know about those and aren't familiar with those. And so really engaging with someone like myself so I can at least give them the information, then they can pass it on to their employees can be really helpful for them. So they've got a resource that way. Employers need to feel like they've got somebody they can go to that they can get the information they need.
Right. And certainly you're a great resource. I'll get your contact information at the end. I want to make sure everybody has access to that. But to follow up with that, one of the things that I have seen is a lot of those smaller businesses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 employees, they don't have that HR department yet, right? It's still run by that business owner. So how can that business owner, I mean, obviously contacting an expert is great, but how can that business owner find the resources and tools to continue to keep their employees updated? Where can they turn?
Well, again, to someone like myself, who that's what I deal with is mainly small and medium-sized businesses. I would say the majority of my clients are probably anywhere between under 50. I would say the majority of my clients are under 50. Okay. I have many that are, I was just talking with several this morning. One of them had 8 employees. The other one, I think, has 22. And so it's, again, it's those small employers that need the assistance, and that's why they pick up those resources like myself. Yeah. Other resources, just, you know, the government websites that are available, the Employment Development Department, the IRS, you know, a lot of them have good information. Cal Chamber is an excellent resource. Your local Chamber of Commerce is an excellent resource to get information about this kind of thing. If you're in the Bakersfield area or any local area, generally you have a Chamber of Commerce. If they are active in the business investment type process, they usually are providing this kind of information as well to those people who are members. So that's a great opportunity as well to get that.
And I did see that I should have maybe looked at it more, but there's a national chamber board, and they just released additional grants for businesses between 3 and 50 employees. So certainly outside of the government stimulus that has already passed, there are other organizations stepping up. Yes. I know Google is offering free advertising through credits. Facebook is getting ready to release something. So it's certainly good to stay aware of those, and certainly a reason somebody might contact you. So do you function as the HR department for those companies that you work with, or do you just provide consulting resources and tell them where to find it?
Both. Okay. Times, typically, I mean, obviously I'm generally not on a regular basis on site for them. I mean, right. I can be, but that's typically not what they want. They just want the information. Where do I find this? How do I get it? I can come on site if they need that, but typically they usually have someone, maybe an office manager or themselves as the business owner, that's handling it, and they just need somebody to ask the questions of. And that's what I'm available for. And it makes it easy for them to just pick up the phone and call instead of having to do all the research themselves to get the information and get it quickly so that they can move forward.
Yeah, okay. Back to these issues that are emerging, and employers need to stay up to date and employees need to stay up to date. But just a question for you in your observation, which of these changes do you think is maybe temporary versus something that will end up being a bit more permanent?
Okay. I think, well, a couple of things. There's spinning through my mind, a couple of things flashed through there. The work from home aspect, I think, is going to be more of a permanent, a permanent option that employers will look at. That they're finding that this is valuable, that their employees really like it. That they are getting as much, if not more, productivity.
Right.
Like I were talking about earlier, it saves commute time. It saves all that hassle and frustration. It gives us time to be much more productive. And so I think employers are going to look at that as a possible continuing opportunity as we move forward out of this. I hate to say it, but I think that these kinds of medical situations are going to become much more prevalent. Just, you know, the flu seasons, we've seen a lot of those over the last, you know, the bird flu, there's been a number of them recently that we've gone through. I think this obviously is the worst that we've seen, but I think these kinds of things will continue. Some of the things that maybe won't is one more thing that will is the economic downturn for a short time. I think it'd be a big hit for the majority of businesses. The majority of organizations are going to have a hard time recovering, but need to plan and do that in an appropriate way, not just to react or respond to it, that they really need to have a plan to move forward. How are we going to bring back employees? How can we bring them back in a staggered way or a phased way so that we can make sure our business gets back up to speed? So some of those things that they really need to look at. And then one of the other things that I think is going to be more permanent is a much greater awareness on the part of the employer about caring for their employees and really paying attention to the needs of employees, which from my perspective is exciting because employees have felt like, oh, I'm just a number. I'm just, somebody who doesn't count. All they're looking at is the bottom line. I think employees are going to see that's different. I think what I've seen and heard from a lot of employees is, you know, they're really doing their best that they can. Under these situations, under these circumstances, they're doing everything they can to try to help me, to try to assist me. So that's going to be an ongoing theme, hopefully, that continues.
When all of these businesses set their 2020 goals, it was not survive a pandemic, right? So it's been a huge pivot for everybody. Under the circumstances, I'm glad my employer cares about me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it definitely wasn't on my list of
right. 2020. So I'm interested that this whole work from home thing you think is going to continue. And as somebody that has worked predominantly from home for the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's not that new to me, right? Like I'm fairly used to it, But for a lot of people, it's been a transition. And so maybe what are some tips or strategies that you as an HR person want to give those employees that are experiencing this for the first time to help them abide by the employee or by their employer's recommendations, by the requirements, tracking through HR, right? Are they actually working when they say they're working? Like, how can that employee really embrace that work from home and experience that success?
Yeah. Well, and I think it is a whole new paradigm for people. You know, you and I both have worked, you know, from home offices or whatever for years. And so for us, it's a normal state of being. I would say the number one concern is make sure that they set up a designated area to work from. Don't just keep moving from place. You know, I'm going to sit down on the couch now and I'll work for a few minutes, then I'll move to the kitchen and then I'll move up, you know, because I got to get out of Johnny's way because Johnny wants to play with his toys, right? Set up a designated area so that your family knows you're at work.
Yeah.
And so that they do give you that space and time just as if you were at work. Do be productive from a requirement standpoint. Make sure that they're accurately and effectively tracking the time that they work. Even if that means they're working 15 minutes and then they take, you know, they have to go take care of Johnny for 10 minutes, that's fine. Just take off those 10 minutes, start their timer again or their log sheet of what hours they're working so that they make sure that they accurately track their work. And please ensure that they're taking their rest and meal periods. Mm-hmm. Big issues, and that's not something that an employer can follow or be aware of because you're at home and they're at the office. And so the employer needs to know that you're following those kinds of rules and regulations. And that's one of the big ones is the rest and meal periods and tracking your time to ensure you're really making sure that you're working the number of hours you need to, not working overtime unless that's approved, but making sure that you're not working off the clock as well.
Right.
So that, you know, you say, oh, well, that's okay. I'll just do this for 5 minutes, you know, but then you end up spending a half hour, but you didn't write it down.
Right.
To make sure they're really effectively tracking your time. Right. So,
and yeah. are there any concerns about underworking? You know, an employee is logging in. Yeah, I worked 30 hours this week, but hey, let's be honest, they work 20 and are just looking to game the system a little bit. How can an employer and an employee have that dialogue?
Right. And they should. That should be something that the employer obviously sets some expectations and some goals, is able to monitor or track that productivity. I'm working with one of my clients to put in a new productivity tracking system, Time Doctor, and it appears to be a very effective program. I mean, employees clock in, clock out, they, you know, everything that they're doing, it takes screenshots of the work that they're performing if they're working on a computer. There are systems out there that are available to help them monitor that productivity to ensure employees are really putting in the time they say they are.
Excellent. So there's tips for both employers and employees available.
Yeah.
You mentioned,
and for the let me finish up one thing for the employers. I would just really want to encourage them to make sure that they have a work from home policy in place.
Okay.
Specifies the guidelines. Here's what's expected. Here's who gets to work from home. You know, if you're in this kind of a role or these kind of functions, here's what we expect from you. Here's what, you know, you can expect from us. And the employer has to reimburse the employee for any related expenses. So thinking about like using their personal cell phone if they have to, or their internet service, is the employer going to be requiring them to use their own personal computer? Or are they going to provide a laptop? So a lot of those more logistical things that employers need to think about.
Don't just wing it is what you're saying.
Got it. Yep. Yeah, you got it. Yep.
So, and you can help draft those documents for those employees. Okay.
Yes, great. Absolutely.
I like that one of the things that you said was find that space to be productive. And one of the things that I've started telling people, because my clients are like, boy, I've never worked from home. What do I do here? And the number one thing that I've always had to say is, despite how glamorous it sounds, pajamas produce problems. Like we have this myth, right? Like I get to work from home. I'm going to stay in my yoga pants and my big old oversized comfy sweater all day. And that feels really cool till about 2 o'clock. And then you're just like, man, I got no energy. I got no drive. Like get up and stick to your normal morning routine, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Wake up at 6 and have your coffee and shower and work at 8 o'clock, even if it is from your bedroom or a home office or whatever. Follow that same routine.
Yeah. I would say about the only exception I will give to that is slippers are just fine.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Slippers instead of shoes are just fine.
Nice shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about your business specifically, okay. Because I think we can gain some insights from that even. So over the last 5 or 6 weeks, what are some ways that you yourself have had to pivot your business during this time of social distancing and work from home?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned the social distancing, because obviously that's been one of the biggest concerns. Part of my business is doing training. And so I do go into businesses where obviously we bring all of the employees together and present some training materials. That's had to stop. And that has stopped not only for individual businesses, but collectively where I provide training courses and anyone can attend those. So those have all had to stop because of it. That is something that we can do remotely. But again, part of that is the frustration for employers then. Does my employee who typically works out in the fields in agriculture have a computer at home where they can mm-hmm. act electronically? So we're still addressing some of those kinds of issues. Some of the other things, really not much other than that has changed, other than I'm spending a lot more time doing things electronically where I can visually see individuals,
right,
physically being there to meet with them, which is fine. It works great. Doing a lot more by phone than I typically do. So for me, one of the best benefits is, I think similar to yours, I haven't had to commute or drive near as much. So it's reduced that, you know, that piece of it as well on the work from
home. Yeah. The one complaint I have about this, and it's a weird complaint, but it takes you into my head, is I use that drive time for audiobooks.
Yes.
And I was driving 30, 35 hours a week traveling to all of these businesses and places. I was getting through an audiobook every week, every other week. And now I'm like, I've been stuck on the same audiobook for 6 weeks because it's the only time I listen to audiobooks.
Right. Is in the car. Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it was, and that hasn't changed because now I'm just doing it when I'm not driving, but I also spend a lot of my time. That's when I'm doing a lot of return phone calls.
Right.
Yeah. So that, I mean, for me, that hasn't changed. I'm just not physically behind the wheel while I'm doing
right.
it.
So yeah. And maybe that's a good point and a good insight. How have you had to restructure your day? So it sounds like you're keeping a lot of the same routines and habits. You're still reading. It sounds like you're still returning those phone calls, but how has your schedule changed? Cause I know that's the number one thing my clients are getting. Like, I had my routine when I could go to work, but now that I'm working from home, like every client, we're working through how to create a new normal schedule. So how have yeah. you had to change yours? What insight do you have?
Well, new normal. And for me, the new normal means, gee, I now get to finish work about 8 o'clock at night. It's like I'm not working until 10 or 11 every night because of 3 hours of driving. So
right.
I'm actually ending my day a lot earlier. I'm actually having, you know, getting some time to relax. And like we said, read a book, for pleasure. So for me, it really hasn't changed much other than not having to spend the time driving. So because mine has always been a consulting situation where I've worked either out of my home or out of my car, there hasn't been a lot of need to change. For those who are having to experience that, like you said, the importance of setting and maintaining a schedule and a routine is critical. I was really impressed. My nephew is a chief administrative officer for one of the large tech firms up in the Silicon Valley. And my niece said to me, he got up, she said, he's taken over my office. He's brought in these two big screens. He's functioning just like he does when he's at work. And I said, and that's exactly what he needs to do.
Right.
He's changed, even though, you know, he has to physically be at home to do it. He's coming in, he gets up, he's in there at 8 o'clock, he's finished, he does his work, he takes his lunch break, he does everything just like he normally did, even though he's a, you know, chief accounting officer, I mean, very right. high level position, he's still functioning just like he was in the office. And that's what all of us need to do.
Right.
To function just like we normally would and not let those distractions occur. If those distractions happen, then we need to make up for that. We need to take that time and put the time in at another time to make sure we're still getting our 8 hours of productive work that we need to contribute to our organization.
Right, right. And I think in the midst of that, especially early on, which who knows, maybe this is still early on, right? We don't know when this is actually going to end, but right. you know, what I've been telling my clients is early on, have some compassion on yourself and understand that productivity is going to dip just a little bit. So what you're used to functioning at, like let's aim for like 2/3 of that for the first few weeks and slowly start to increase that. But then also understand that it's not, I think a lot of times we're well, I show up to work at 8 and I work until 5. Why can't I do that from home? Well, because you're going to the water cooler, or you're taking bathroom breaks, or you're taking lunch breaks. And in the context of the office, you don't realize those 5 to 10 minutes every place that it happens. And at home, it becomes a bit more apparent because now the kids see you away from your computer. And, right. and they, hey, dad's done at the computer. We can go wrestle, or we can ask him a question or whatever. So, yes. So how can we navigate that schedule change? Do you suggest trying to stick to that 8 to 5 from an HR perspective, or, you know, creating that work from home policy for employers? Are you walking people through, let them start work at 6 a.m. and work for 2 hours before the kids wake up? Like, how do employees navigate getting those 8 hours in?
Right. And that's going to be dependent on the business. You know, for some organizations, because of the necessity where they can interact with one another, they all pretty much have to work the same schedule. So they all have to be available during that 8 to 5 time. Right. You know, others who work, they may work with other people, but they don't have to have constant access with them. So they can work at 6 a.m. So, hey, the kids are still in bed. I can work from 6 to 8, get 2 solid hours in. The kids get up, I can take, 45 minutes off to feed them breakfast and get the laundry done and get the dishes done. And then I can jump back in when they're out there watching TV or doing their homework or whatever they're going to do for the rest of the day. So it really depends on the organization, the type of business, what the employees are being requested to do from home, and the needs of the business. Mm-hmm. Have to look at it from that. But as well, like you said, to be realistic, that it is going to be a little different. And until employees get acclimated to this new paradigm and this new reality, it's going to take a little bit of work to make sure they get back up to their full 8 hours.
Right.
You know, you mentioned being around the water cooler and stuff. You know, I don't think employees realize that just 5 minutes an hour, if they just waste 5 minutes an hour, okay, that's more than four weeks a year.
Right.
That means that they've wasted of their employer's time.
Yeah.
Did a time study a few years ago, and that was even, you know, astounding to me when I looked at that. It's just, they're only wasting 5 minutes an hour, whether it's standing talking at the water cooler, or, you know, they're chit-chatting with their, you know, their workmate about something that's not related to work. 5 minutes an hour is more than 4 weeks a year that they've wasted of their employer time. So
and 30 years of working in a company, you're wasting a pretty substantial amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer that the way we navigate any change is predominantly dependent upon our mindset. Absolutely. And so as a coach, one of my favorite questions to ask when clients are hitting a roadblock is, what does this make possible? So I want to ask that question and maybe a variant of it for you. Like, so what opportunities is this actually creating for employers and employees moving forward?
And I think it goes back to some of what I've said already. It's just the looking at things from a different perspective. Like you said, they've got to change their mindset. And so to be able to see that this is offering new possibilities, it's helping them to clarify, what are the roles that are actually needed? What is the work that actually needs to be performed? Where have we allowed kind of some of that, you know, that fat to fit into the system, or allowed it to kind of settle in and we've never really addressed it? So some of those things I think are becoming much more clear to employers. And I'm hoping that as they continue now to start thinking about bringing people back to work, and as this pandemic hopefully begins to lighten and we're given the opportunity to start to re-engage the workforce, that they take a look at that before they just try to bring everybody back.
Yeah.
They really make this a planned and effective re-engagement of the workforce, so that they can help employees understand, look, there's going to be changes, and help everybody understand, you know, things have changed, and that means our workforce has changed. That means the needs of our business have changed. That means how we're going to do work at work. Even if you're at work, or if you do get to stay home, how we do work is going to change. And we've got to get people to accept that and realize it has nothing to do with them as a person. This is because of this pandemic. I see this as a real eye-opener for a lot of businesses.
Right.
And they'll take advantage of that and not just try to go back to what was normal before.
Right.
Because I this is our new normal.
Absolutely. From an employee side, let's say I'm an employee that is working for one of the businesses that has hired you. How can I use this time to further develop skills or expertise so that as we're emerging from this, I either can find a new job, a different job, or get a promotion? So how can the employee handle this time to grow as well?
Yeah, excellent question. And I think this is the perfect opportunity, especially for those employees maybe they are continuing to work a little bit, but they've had their hours cut. Maybe they're only working 25 or 30 hours. Now they've got an extra 5 or 10 hours or 10 or 15 hours in their day or in their week to get their own things done. Now's the time to be jumping out there. There are so many training courses that are available online that they can take for free. You know, develop a new skill, take an Excel class, take a word processing class, find out something about something that's their passion that they really enjoy doing and begin to research that and look into it, see what opportunities are out there and available, but really begin to recraft who they are so that they are more valuable when the workforce does come back to full force again, so that not only, like you said, maybe within their own organization, but maybe even elsewhere, moving on, going on to something bigger and better for them. So yeah, absolutely spending the time investing in themselves and what's of interest to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I have the feeling we could just keep going, right? Because something that you mentioned there is like, well, if an employee had their hours cut, maybe that changes their full-time status. And how can employers handle that? And now it's changing benefits package, and maybe it changes right. The way the business needs to file. So there's a lot of questions that we could just continue to dive into. So, Dr. Webb, how can people get in touch with you, and ultimately why? What are the services that you provide that could help people during this time? And then how can they reach out to you?
Email, absolutely. It's real simple, I don't even know what my email address is. Dr.Juanita.Webb@gmail. I don't email myself often @gmail.com. But also, I mean, I am more than happy to provide for an employer. You know, a lot of these small employers just need somebody to say, hey, what do I do? How do I handle this? More than happy to provide a complimentary consult for organizations to give them some assistance, to get them, feeling like they've got a resource available. And so if somebody wants to call me or needs some help, I'm more than happy to do that, and give them some insights and help in any way I can. So like you mentioned before, I do anything basically in the HR arena. I typically don't process payroll. I'm not a payroll processing firm, and I'm not a benefits processing firm, but I can answer questions about payroll and benefits. Mm-hmm. Anything on the employer side from an HR perspective, whether it's, handbooks, writing policies, helping them with those, doing an audit to help them know where they are and where they need to clean up or fix up or get in tune with regulations, those kinds of things I can help with.
Staying in federal compliance.
Compliance, right, whether federal or state, and even other states. I mean, I have clients who operate in other states as well, and so I try to stay compliant with those states as well, because every state has its own little specifics. As we all know, California has a lot of specifics, different than every other state and the federal government, but every state has some unique opportunities in it as well. And so we need to make sure that we're compliant with those.
Yes.
But the coaching, the consulting, the dealing with employee issues, I even have an employee hotline that I offer so that if employees are having concerns or issues, they can just pick up the phone and have somebody to talk to so that the employer doesn't feel like they have to answer all the questions, or that maybe they don't feel they can answer all the questions, or they want it to be a confidential hotline so the employees have somebody to talk to if they have concerns.
Yeah.
All of those kinds of things. I think you also mentioned at the beginning that I am a licensed PI. And I did that basically to be able to handle for my clients issues of harassment, discrimination, retaliation. So that if there's an investigation that's needed, I can come in and perform those functions for them. Just an educational moment here. For any organization that needs that type of service, please understand if you're going to bring anyone in from outside your organization, it does have to be either a licensed attorney or a licensed private investigator in the state that they operate in. So that's just a legal requirement. So I just wanted to make sure that they didn't just
I'll just bring
my friend in and he can conduct the investigation, or, you know, I'll just invite this HR manager from another, you know, organization. No, they do have to be either attorney or licensed investigator. So, you mentioned audits, employee engagement surveys, opinion surveys, all of those kinds of things I do as well. I love doing the training. I train anything from the required sexual harassment training, especially for those in California. There's a lot of other states now that are requiring that as well. I am a retained expert in the field of sexual harassment. And so I do a lot of that training and hopefully get a lot of people to be aware of what those issues and concerns are and how to address them. So,
yeah, excellent. Thank you. Two final questions. First, what's the best phone number? Somebody's watching this, they need to reach out to you. They've got some questions. What's the best phone number to get in touch with you?
Okay. 661-747-4386. That's my direct cell number. That's, you text me, leave a message, and I will get back to you. The one beauty of all of this pandemic situation is I've been able to get back to my clients much more quickly because I've been tied up in a training class for 4 hours. And so if a client calls, I've been able to be much more responsive to get back. So I really like that aspect of
Excellent.
It. Yeah. So that and my email is the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Fantastic.
And we'll other
post
certified.
All of that, but for people listening, I want to make sure that they can hear that as well, but it'll also be posted in the presenter notes and everything. Final question, and really it's just, I want the stage to be yours for 30 seconds. Leave us with a word of wisdom, an inspiring quote, like a lot of people are struggling in this time.
Yeah.
Give us some encouragement. How can we emerge from this better and not bitter?
Better and not bitter. I like that. Okay. Better and not bitter. What I see and what I hear, and this even before the pandemic, but especially now amidst all of this pandemic, is that, and this isn't an original quote with me, I got it from somewhere else, but I've used it consistently, information breeds confidence.
Hmm.
If we can communicate with our employees, that helps them to be confident in their situation. It helps them to develop confidence in you because you're not withholding information. Because silence breeds fear.
Right.
And we can communicate and go overboard. Like I said, even if they're at home, continue to communicate with them. So it's really important that we maintain that communication, because when we don't, the worst case scenario is what's gonna pop into those employees' heads. And that's the worst thing that can happen right now.
Right.
Already bad enough out there. There's already enough bad news to be hearing, but to leave a vacuum of silence allows employees to try to fill in the blanks, and they fill it in with worst case scenario.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so communicate. That's my biggest encouragement, because it really does breed that confidence in you as an employer, in you as a leader, in your organization as somebody who cares about them, and it really can make a difference in how you come out of this, because employees will have that commitment to you. Because you maintain that commitment with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I often tell my clients, especially when you're dealing with employees, the only way to communicate is to over-communicate.
Over-communicate, yeah.
If you've said it 100 times, they've probably heard it 4, so keep going. But
keep going, yeah. You've got a lot more times you need to keep doing. Yeah, over-communicate, yeah.
Dr. Webb, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Such a blessing to have you on, and you taught me a lot and have encouraged me, and I know that you have done the same for those that are watching this. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule for helping encourage us to build our purpose.